Fight championship hat on in Chandler. It's an exciting day yesterday. So even though I'm exhausted, I do want to say I'm excited. And I think about that game, and it reminds me a lot about Christianity and how there are times where we feel that we're beaten and there's no hope. And then all of a sudden, you know, we have our victory in Jesus. And that excitement that they're going to have for their entire lives. They're going to go to their 25th reunion, and they're going to be excited about that moment and talk about it. And isn't it great that we can do that every day with our victory in Jesus Christ? And so I'm enthused, and I'm excited that I have the chance to come and share the message today. As you guys know, Dave's playing hooky, and he asked me to do the sermon. This is my first one, so I'm just going to wing it. I'm going to share my heart today. Obviously going to share some scripture, and then I'm going to try to put a little bit of my testimony in there. You know, so I became an elder 2 years ago. I know many of you, but some of you don't know my story, and so I'll try to sprinkle that in a little bit. We wish Dave some rest. You know, he's a big Cub fan, and I have Dodger tickets with Jeff Melberg and then Sam Franz, and Dave started bugging us months ago. Hey, Cubs, when's the Cub game? So he talked Jeff into getting him tickets, and the Melberg clan and the Bakker clan, they went down to the Dodger game today. So we just pray for that he gets rest. He's had some problems with his health. He's had some skin issues, some big cuts in there, and he's stitched up. So just hope he has a good weekend. I noticed we had a visitor today. Mr. Joey Cardamone is here. He doesn't know I'm going to do this. I don't want to embarrass him, but I think it's a perfect time to bring him up here and pray for him as he's going to be leaving for New Hampshire. I don't know how many of you know, but Joey will be leaving for New Hampshire on June 1st, and he's going to be starting a new chapter in his life. You know, he pastored here for 5 years, and very difficult times. In the last 3 years, we know have been very hard on him. But God's going to use him, and we want to pray for his ministry. So, Joey, if you and Grace and Anthony would love to come up here, do you want me to come? I'll come down there. But we'd love to have you up here. You served our body well for 5 years, and we appreciate you. So I just want to say thank you to Joey. You know, he pastored here. He guided me for 2 years. We had a Bible study, and people don't know this, but it was an eldership Bible study, and he called me up, and we'd go once a week, and we'd meet, and so I'm thankful for that, and we're all thankful. So let's pray. Lord, we pray for the Cardamone family. Mm-hmm. Pray for Joey and Grace and Anthony. They don't know what's in front of them, but that's the good thing, because they're trusting in you. We know ministry takes people many different places, and we know you've worked in his heart. And let him reach the people. You reach the people through him. Let him do your work, Lord. And we pray that they have safe travels. We pray that they adjust to their new life. We pray that you just provide them with a home there and a sense of security. We pray that you give him renewal in this new job. We know it will be part-time, and so he'll be looking for other work. So we pray that you just provide for him as he puts his trust in you. Mm-hmm. Thank you very much in Jesus' name. Thank you, Joey.
Thank you.
All right.
Thank you.
Grace. Thank you. Yeah. So since this is basically my first sermon, I don't know if I'll ever do another one. I get to bounce all over the place. Okay, so Dave does what you call expository preaching. He started in Mark, he goes through it, and then he started in Genesis, right? So you take certain verses and you just teach on them. Well, I didn't go to seminary, and I got my one shot here. So like I said, I'm just going to give you my heart, and we're going to bounce around. And I'm going to read a lot of scripture, but I think scripture is a lot better than my word. I mean, he put it in writing for a reason, and so I'm going to share a lot of scripture today. But Dave did say something last week. He was talking about Genesis 3 and original sin. And he quoted G.K. Chesterton, and if you guys weren't here, the London Times back in 1910 put out a letter to all the famous authors and just people that were high in society, and they asked the question, what's wrong with the world today? And G.K. Chesterton, who was a famous author, was very well spoken, articulate, had great rhetoric skills. He simply responded and said, "Dear sirs, I am." Okay, so that made me think about myself and what I am, what the world is today. And each generation asks, what's wrong with the world? I sit down at Hoyt's and we try to figure out the problems. And the problems really is that we have people, right? And people have sin. And basically we need to admit that sin. So we went into, or Dave goes into Genesis 3, the original sin, and the deception from Satan, and then the fall of man, and then obviously there was temptation there and how they gave into that temptation. So I want to parallel Genesis with our sin nature, and that is what we are without Christ, and then what we become with Christ, and then how we express our faith in our actions. And I want to start with the Apostle Paul and one of his epistles, and that's Romans. And we're all very familiar with Romans 3, but it's worth repeating. And I want to kind of paint a picture before I get started. So Paul, I think of him as kind of a crazy guy, right? He's fired up. I see him frothing at the mouth because he's excited. I don't know why that's got kickback in it. But he's excited about the message of Jesus Christ, and there's a reason why, right? He saw Jesus on Damascus. He lost his sight. God brings his sight back to him. So he understands that he has no control in life. He understands what Jesus Christ brings him. And so he's arguing with the Jews, okay? Because the Jews are God's chosen people, right? The Jews are given the laws of Moses in Exodus, okay? They inherit, the Messiah is going to come through their lineage. So they feel privileged, right? He brought them out of Egypt. And here Paul is telling them that their rituals and their traditions are no good, that they need Jesus Christ. And so he's fighting with them over that. But of course, the Jews are better than the Gentiles in their mind. So Paul, he just jumps right into it. And I'm just going to read Romans 3, 10 through 20. It says, "As it is written, there is no one righteous, not even one. There is no one who understands. There is no one who seeks God. All have turned away. They have together become worthless. There is no one who does good, not even one." So Paul's trying to hit that message home. There's no one who does good, because based on their traditions, based on the law, right, some of them can't even admit that they're sinners. He says, "Their throats are open graves. Their tongues practice deceit. The poison of vipers is on their lips. Their mouths are full of cursing bitterness. Their feet are swift to shed blood. Ruin and misery mark their ways. And the way of peace they do not know. There is no fear of God before their eyes. Now we know that whatever the law says, it says to those who are under the law, so that every mouth be silenced and the whole world held accountable to God. Therefore, no one will be declared righteous in God's sight by the works of the law. Rather, through the law we become conscious to our sin." Okay, so here's what I heard in that message. It was very clear to me. No one is righteous, no one understands, and no one seeks God. And no one does good. So while I'm kicking you while you're down, well, I mean, how do you think the Jews felt about that? Right? How do you feel about that? Okay. And the first thing we have to do is just be honest with ourselves. Apart from Christ, we're nothing. Right? We're nothing. And I think what we tend to do sometimes is we tend to isolate or measure our sin. Okay, so there are sins that have worse consequences than others. Okay, and I'm speaking first person. Okay, and I'm speaking in generalities. So we tend to take sins and make them much worse than others. Right, adultery is worse than lust, murder is worse than hatred. But in God's eyes, it's all the same. Okay, we've sinned, and we fall short. So sometimes we fail to realize that sin is just sin. Okay, and then I have to ask the question: well, why do we sin? And it's because we live in the flesh, right? We live in the flesh. Our human nature drives us to the flesh, okay? And that's why the world is where it is today. That's why every generation thinks their world is the worst. It's no different today than it was 2,000 years ago. our instincts, our human nature gravitates toward the flesh, okay? And without Christ, we are going to feed that flesh, okay? And so Galatians 5:19 through 21 is clear on the acts of the flesh. Okay, the flesh, it's obvious. Sexual immorality, impurity and debauchery, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition, dissensions, factions, envy, drunkenness, orgies, and the like. I warn you, as I did before, that those who live like this will not inherit the kingdom of God. Sorry, just little things. I'm not cooperating. So at this point, we can't save ourselves, right? And then I ask the question, have you been there yourself? Right? Have we been caught up in sin? Have we seen sin? Others that get caught up in it. And this is where I want to share my testimony and speak that I know my flesh and I know my true heart, okay, based on my human instincts. And I used to do that when I was younger, I really separated my sins. I was like a Jew. I was raised in the church. I happened to be raised in the Catholic Church, but over the years I realized there's no difference between people. Okay, we tend to look at things, especially in our culture, and say, I'm good, and I've isolated this sin, and that sin is something I want to be forgiven for, but it's not really who I am. And the sin is really who we are. Okay, so I'm just going to pick on myself here. Many of you don't know this. When I was 17 years old, I had a child out of wedlock. Okay, I thought it was just an isolated incident. I can tell you this. I would go out Friday night and Saturday night and get drunk. That was my deal, right? Monday through Friday, I was a good dude. Friday, Saturday night came along. It was party time. But guess what? I showed up to church. I was good. I got my check mark. Okay? I can remember being hungover in church. I mean, it's embarrassing to say that today, but I can remember being hungover. And Tim Durando was sitting behind me. And then I was trying to act like I wasn't hungover. I mean, knowing he knew it, right? And I'm trying to disguise it. How many of us do that with our sins? Okay, I was married at the age of 20, and I was divorced by the time I was 22. I destroyed the lives of others. And why did I do this? Because flesh craves sin. Okay. So we always have to put a fishing story into everything, and I like fishing, so I'm going to talk about Menachie Meadows, and we go up there and we try to fish for golden trout. And I love fishing because you put bait in, right? You throw it out there and you want to deceive the fish, right? There's smart ones, there's dumb ones, and the smart ones are harder. It's a harder challenge. But we're working that line and we're deceiving a fish. And we're deceiving it based on its natural instinct. And its natural instinct is to take the bait. Is that killing your guys' ears? Okay, I can hear it. A lot of kickback. So the fish's natural instinct is to take the bait. Well, don't we do that as humans? Aren't we tempted? Isn't that bait just out there, right? And our natural instinct is to take it. And then once you're hooked, you're on. You can't get off, okay? And that's the way I see that Satan plays with us. He tempts us. Our flesh tempts us. And I got a better fishing story. I was out of Morro Bay one time, and there's the jackpot, right? Whoever catches the biggest fish gets the jackpot. I had a friend of mine, his name was Fabian Alvarado, he pulls up a little lean cod. It's probably that big. But he won the jackpot because he had a bigger lean cod, about that big, hooked onto it, right? It was on the little lean cod. And it wasn't hooked on the hook, it just wouldn't let go. Okay, so the natural instinct of that fish was to eat the little fish. So it's from the depths of the ocean, gets pulled all the way up, its eyes are bugging out, and that fish wasn't smart enough just to let go. Right? He wasn't hooked on the bait. All he had to do is let go. Have you ever been there? Right? I know I've been there. I just haven't let go. All right? And I got to tell you something about pigs. When a pig is let out of confinement, it takes 6 weeks for it to go feral. I don't know if you know that, but that's basically us. That's our heart condition, okay? Many of us are in the church, we get away from it, we quit getting fed, we go back to our flesh. Okay, I just thought that was an interesting tidbit. Fortunately for me, I met a young girl Okay? I thought I was going to preach on submission today, but I'm not. Okay, and her name was Valerie. And we've been married, what, 20 years now? 30th, 2 days, 20 years, okay? And what is crazy is I was raised in a church, and I thought had it all figured out. Valerie was raised by an atheist mother. She found the Lord about 19 years old, okay? And she started sharing grace with me. And to be honest, I had no clue what grace was. Grace, and it's embarrassing, but grace was something I said before dinner. It was a prayer. Okay. Grace of the Lord, these are gifts you're about to receive from your bounty to Christ our Lord, amen. And I said it like that every time, fast. I was like a Jew. I said my prayers, boom, boom, boom. Didn't say them slowly. Didn't care about the words. All right, it was all about getting it out there. I grew up to where I said penances, right? Where a priest abolishes your sin, right? Or gives you absolution. Once again, I'd sit, kneel, and say my prayers as fast as I could. All right, that's all works. Right? But Valerie shared with me the grace of Jesus Christ. Okay? And grace is the free and unmerited favor of God. And that's just hard for us to understand. Because once again, our human nature always wants to go back to something we've done. We love to beat our chest. My brother always tells me that men are 97% ego, okay, which we are. So it always goes back to what we can do, what kind of works we accomplished, you know, check the box. Okay? And it's all an unmerited favor from God. Okay? Romans 3:23-26 says this, "For all have sinned, and all fall short of the glory of God. But we are all justified freely by His grace. Through the redemption that came through Christ Jesus, God presented Christ as a sacrifice for atonement through the shedding of blood to be received by faith. He did this to demonstrate His righteousness because in His forbearance He had left the sins committed beforehand unpunished. And He did it to demonstrate His righteousness at the present time so as to be just and the one who justifies those who have faith in Christ Jesus." So it all goes back to Christ Jesus. Right? And there's some key words in there that I'm going to point out. Justified. Justified means to be declared not guilty. Okay? Redemption refers to Christ setting sinners free from the slavery of sin. So it's not just that He's freeing us from sin. We're enslaved to sin. Okay? And that goes back to not isolating sin. We are slaves to it in the flesh, and we don't even realize it. So He frees us from that. And then atonement. Christ died in our place, right? We deserve to die. Okay? I deserve death. I deserve to be separated from God. And there's nothing that I can do to take that place, right? I mean, I just told you what I did on basically 1 year window. And it just take one day, I'm not good enough, okay? All sin separates us from God. Okay, so the redemption of Christ satisfies God's demands. And Jesus' sacrifice brings pardon and deliverance and freedom. And so then I have to ask the question, well, how do we receive grace? And that's we repent, right? We acknowledge what I just said, that we're sinners at the core. Okay? Not that just we have sinned, but that we are sinners. Acts 3:19 says, "Repent then and turn to God so that your sins may be wiped out, that times of refreshing may come from the Lord." Acts 20:21, "I have declared to both Jews and Greeks that they must turn to God in repentance and have faith in our Lord Jesus Christ." Acts 11:18, when they heard this, they had no further objections and praised God, saying, "So then, even to the Gentiles, God has granted repentance that leads to life." And then Luke 24:46-48, He told them, "This is what is written, the Messiah will suffer and rise from the dead, and on the third day, and repentance for the forgiveness of sins will be preached in His name to all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. you are witnesses of these things. So it's our repentance of faith alone in Christ alone that delivers us from the bondage of sin. And that gives us life in the Spirit, okay, and freedom in Christ. So I know I've kicked us all around, right, to identify what we are, but we have to understand what we are to appreciate the grace. And that's how powerful His grace is. Okay? And I want to read Romans 8, 1 through 2. Therefore, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Because through Christ Jesus, the law of Spirit, who gives us life, has set you free from the law of sin and death. And then Galatians 5:1, it is for freedom that Christ has set us free. Okay? Stand firm, then, and do not let yourselves be burdened again by the yoke of slavery. Okay? So we have the freedom now. We have the Spirit. Okay? Temptation is not sin. Adam and Eve were tempted, and they acted upon that temptation. Okay? We have the power. The power that rose Jesus from the dead lives in us. So when we're tempted, we have the power to fight that sin. We can put away our old self. Okay? We can look to God for all things. All right? We can now even pray to God, and He hears our prayers. All right? I always laugh because Romans 8:28 tells us we don't even know how to pray. All right? Sometimes we have these prayers, and we want them to be special, and really, we don't even know how to pray. I mean, it's all God. Everything is through Him. It's the Spirit who hears our heart, okay? Changes our attitude. And so with the freedom, like I said, it changes our attitude. Right? We have the freedom to go out and walk in front of a car, right? A speeding car, but we don't do it. Right? So we've got to balance our freedom and understand that we can't take advantage of it. Okay? We can't sin just because we have freedom. So our attitude, let Christ change our attitude. And I want to read Colossians 3:5-9. And these are attitudes of the flesh, okay, but we're dead to these now. So in Colossians, I think Paul wrote this in jail or in prison. And I just love his passion sitting in a prison cell in, what, 50-something A.D.? It's a lot different prison today. So it shows you his desire and his love for Jesus Christ. So Colossians 3:5-9, therefore consider members of your earthly body as dead to immorality, impurity, passion, evil, greed, which amounts to adultery. For it is because of these things that the wrath of God will come upon the sons of disobedience. And in them you also once walked when you were living in them. But now you also put them all aside. So what are we putting aside? We're putting aside anger, wrath, malice, slander, abusive speech from your mouth. Do not lie to one another, since you laid aside the old self with evil practices. So I'm thankful that Jesus Christ allows me to lay those all aside, because without Him, I've already explained to you, that's what I was. I can deny it all I want, but those are the things that I craved. Colossians 3:12-17 goes into, therefore, as God's chosen...